sports freaks. It's time to get your game on with the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union. Serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air. Unmatched quality, service, and price. And Eggs Up Grill. Serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. Now, here's your Sports Freak Hour host, Mike Morgan.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. And full disclosure here as we get the show started. Tonight's show is being pre-recorded, so I'm taking some much-needed vacation time with the family. So not in the studio tonight, but we have got a great show lined up. Got a couple of great conversations here in just a few minutes. Jim Zocchi with the Carolina Panther Radio Network going to join me as they're getting ready this Thursday. They play in the Hall of Fame game up in Canton, Ohio. So get a little preseason preview with Mr. Zocchi. He's one of my favorite guys to have on, and he's been with them since the very beginning of the Carolina Panthers. And also coming up around 6:30, 6:35 tonight, we will hear from Ryan McGee from ESPN. You see him on the Marty and McGee Show. Get his thoughts on college football as, hey, before you know it, man, games are going to be played. It starts, you know, probably late part of August, first part of September. And, man, I tell you, I got a lot of great headlines and just stories to discuss with Mr. McGee. And hopefully you had a chance to listen to the show this past Monday night as we had our preseason prep pigskin preview show. Also had a pizza party at all four coaches here. And just a reminder, we kick off high school football coverage on Friday, August 21st. Our very first game will be Hendersonville at home hosting the East Henderson Eagles. Ron Wagner will be back on the call with me for that one. And super excited to welcome a new member to our team here as Danny Wilkins is going to join me for some games as well. Danny, of course, longtime head coach in the Asheville area, coached the Asheville Cougars state championship a few years ago. And so Danny worked most recently on WWNC up in Asheville. And this is the first year in a long time they're not going to do high school football. So we'll talk about that. We talked about that last week. We dipped into the portal and we brought Danny in to be a part of us. He'll be with me in week two when we go to East Henderson as the Eagles will host Madison. And then week three will be at North and week four will be at West. So we're pretty much going to be at home games for all four county teams. Back to back to back to back. And then Rhett Blanchard also going to join me for some games. My brother-in-law, matter of fact, he's with me this week on our family vacations. I'm sure we'll talk some high school football and play some golf and have a good old time. But hey, so we got a lot to talk about tonight with those two guests, so Jim Zocchi and Ryan McGee. And you know, because we had the show last week, didn't really have a chance to talk a whole lot about some of the headlines. And I wanted to just quickly touch base, give you some of my thoughts on LeBron James signing with the Philadelphia 76ers. We talk about coming out of nowhere. I thought the Cavaliers, maybe the Heat, you know, late in the conversation, the Lakers kind of got involved. But then LeBron was just like, nope, you know what? I'm going to take less money and just go play for the Sixers. So he'll join Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And let's not forget, Jaylen Brown was traded from the Celtics to the Sixers. So with the Knicks winning the championship, and we've seen the West kind of have a stronghold on the NBA for a long time, looks like maybe things have shifted back to the East. I'm not sure if the Sixers are going to be the favorites. I think, you know, you got to kind of give the nod to the Knicks because they are the defending champs. But if nothing else, maybe a little bit of a power shift. I know LeBron is 40, but he is still one of the greatest to ever play the game. And definitely, if everybody can stay healthy, they got a chance to be pretty good. All right, so baseball, by the time this show airs, we will be close to have wrapped up the trade deadline. So we'll not have a lot of stuff about that tonight, but we will maybe recap some of that. Some of the moves that were made when I'm back in the studio next Monday. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have a conversation with Jim Zocchi from the Carolina Panther Radio Network. You're listening to the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ.
It's a thrill.
Eggs Up Grill. Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local train comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number, you're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small-town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap-to-pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Week Hour here on WTZQ. I'll head over to Mount Credit Union Hotline and bring in my good buddy, longtime announcer for the Carolina Panthers. He is Mr. Jim Zocchi. He is on his way to go play golf today. How are you, my friend?
Well, you said it. It's a good day already right there. So I'm playing golf, and football season's bad. We had training camp practices the last 2 days, but they're not practicing today. Got Fan Fest coming up. So it's, it's fun to get out and work in one of my last rounds of golf, I'm sure, for the calendar year.
That is very true. And, of course, full disclosure, I mentioned in the intro that we are recording the show this past week, and it was on a Monday. So hopefully.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Wow, what a great weekend, Mike. Oh, what an exhausting Saturday and Sunday.
I know. Tell me about it.
FanFest was great, as always.
You've looked into the future, and it was wonderful.
What a day.
Well, we're on vacation, and I'm kind of sad that our vacation's a little later this year, so there's zero chance of me just randomly running into you somewhere. We've had fun over the years about the Kiowa time where I'm eating dinner, and there's Zocchi on the back porch of Kiowa having dinner. I'm like, hey, are you in Kiowa? And you're looking around going, where is that knucklehead? Why is he bothering me at my dinner? But no chance of me seeing you on vacation, and I'm kind of sad by that because there's always that chance, but no chance this year.
Yeah, we were down at our place there in 4th of July week. That was actually the last time I played golf prior to this one. I did not see you there. If I did, I dodged you and missed you.
Yeah, your security basically goes through and checks the whole area. You're safe, Mr. Zocchi.
Right.
Morgan is not here. You may go ahead and do your thing. All right, man. Well, coming up this Thursday, we do have the Hall of Fame game. And I think back, Jim, to the very first Hall of Fame game. We beat those hated Jaguars, the two teams that came in. And you know, there's two things in the NFL that I can always remember. 1995 was the year I got married. That was the year the Carolina Panthers began playing. And I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 when the Super Bowl rolls around. So Super Bowl 61. So if you know what year the Super Bowl is, that's how old I am. So those are two things I can always remember. I always remember the Super Bowl. I always remember when the Panthers started. But, man, I remember, Jim, we had probably 20 people in the sports office at WLOS. Stan Pamphilis went to that game. We were so excited. You would have thought we won the Super Bowl when they won that very first ever game. I know you were there because you have been with the Panther Radio Network since day one. And that was some good memories back in 1995, beating those Jaguars on the last second. Was it a pass breakup or an interception in the end zone? Something real big happened, I remember. But that was a good first win, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, preseason being what it was, but, you know, that's the first game for the Panthers ever, and just the fact that they're out there, you know, in uniforms and helmets playing NFL football at of all places in Canton, Ohio. And for me, I grew up about 35 minutes north of there, kind of between Akron and Cleveland. So homecoming for me, and it will be again next week seeing family when I go up there again. So that was special to have my first NFL game be basically in my backyard of where I grew up. And just all the excitement of, you know, you had the draft, you had the expansion draft, you kind of just bunch of players. You know, what's that going to look like in a game? I remember Bob Christian, the fullback, scored the first touchdown in that game. And like you said, Jacksonville being the other rival coming in as the other expansion team. So a lot of good memories from that. That year was hard, though, I'll say overall, because as we said, we had 21 road games because the home games were down in Clemson. And, you know, it's never easy to get there even now because there's always some kind of construction on 85. So every week was like, by the end of the year, we were just exhausted because nothing was ever at home. It was just, you know, training camp in Spartanburg and practices. We're like at Winthrop University that first year. They didn't have the practice facilities even open. So it took a while because some people don't, you know, realize that 95 season, there was no Ericsson Stadium yet. It was Clemson. And then in 96, they had started all over again, all the inaugural first games in Charlotte and all that kind of stuff.
And that first year, I mean, 7-9, I remember, you know, competitive in a lot of games. Started 0-5, but then and won seven games down the stretch. And, those games at Clemson were kind of different. And like I said, you were still in the Carolinas. You were just in the other Carolinas for pretty much everything. Like I said, training camp in Spartanburg. And you know, training camp's going on right now. And, gosh, I've got so many memories of Spartanburg back in the day. And it's been in Charlotte now for a few years. And has everybody kind of settled in with that? Of course, now it's a whole new coaching staff, everything. But us guys, you know, those of us that covered it for a long time, Spartanburg was kind of a cool place to get away. But now you're just right there in your backyard in Charlotte.
Yeah, you said, I think, you know, for me, like, I enjoyed Spartanburg, but from a convenience standpoint, where our radio stations are is literally down Moorhead Street. So it's truly like 5 minutes for me to drive to the practice and Bank of America Stadium on the days that we go. So I do enjoy the convenience. It's fun watching the indoor facility they're building out on the practice fields get built. I think the plan is to have some number of fans back in there starting next year. But, yeah, no fans allowed this year while they're going under the construction.
Gotcha. And I tell you what has training camp been like so far? I know, unfortunately, we did have one injury the other day. Mabrazel, the wide receiver, tore his LCL. And you don't hear too many LCL tears. I hear a lot of ACL and MCL. He's going to be out probably 6 to 8 weeks. Hated to see that happen because he was one of the kids from Tennessee. I know a lot of people were very high on. But what have you seen in practice so far as we've just got started here in training camp?
Honestly, more injuries than we'd like to see, because the week before was Nick Sporton that had a torn ACL, and he's out for the year. And he was dependent on being, you know, the other edge rusher on the opposite side from Jalen Phillips, who we brought in as a free agent from Philadelphia this offseason. So have had some other injuries, but a lot of those have kind of recovered as we got Mike Jackson and J.C. Horn back. And with FanFest, it was Mitchell Evans back, so the tight end that got carted off but turned out to be a sprained ankle. So just, yeah, we just like put in bubble wrap and knock on wood that, yeah, we get through this extra preseason game with four of them and get into the regular season without any more of that kind of stuff going on.
I swear, the four words I just hate to see anytime in training camp or in my teams, cart on the field. Anytime you see the words cart on the field, means somebody's being carted off. You just never want to see that. And it is part of the game, but I'm kind of like you, yeah, just wrap these guys in bubble wrap. That's why I kind of wanted to mention we're doing this on a Thursday, and it's airing on a Monday. So if anything happens between now and then, and Jim and I don't talk about it, that's because, we're recording the show earlier. But hopefully everybody stays healthy. And, of course, heading out to Canton, like you said, for the Hall of Fame game, taking on Arizona. And, you know, probably starters will play a series, I guess, more than likely. Then we'll see a bunch of backups. But do you like it now that we have, you know, less preseason games? Do you like that now, or do you wish we were kind of back the old way where some teams would play as many as five preseason games?
No, we don't need more preseason games because the coaches aren't, to your point, you're going to see basically them evaluate the back half of the roster. And so it's not like you really get a sense of, like, this is the Panthers team or the Cardinals team. You get the sense of, just trying to get the 53-man roster and practice squad assembled. So there's this, you know, again, because of what we talk about with the injuries, there's a lot of concern about, you know, trying not to expose guys to injury more than you have to. So I think it's good. I do think at some point they'll probably be able to negotiate a 18-game regular season schedule because money will talk. And
oh, yes.
They'll pay the players. So they'll probably have to, you know, add some money to everybody's contract because of the extension of the regular season. But they just haven't been able to figure out what that looks like yet. But, you know, where money is, they'll figure out a way of making that happen, which would lessen the preseason to two games, which is probably fine. And it'd probably make the quality of the preseason better because of just the fact that not just trying to nurse their way through three or four games that way.
Jim Zocchi on the Mountain Credit Union Hotline here on the Q tonight, getting ready to begin year number 31 with Carolina Panther Radio Network. All right, let's talk about some of the big things coming in the season. I think one of the biggest thing is a lot of people are kind of looking at Bryce Young, hoping this is a year he takes a little bit of a leap. He takes a step up. What have you seen so far, and what do you expect this season from Mr. Young?
He looks real sharp. I mean, he looks good, and it's just like you kind of see him year after year stacking improvement as he heads into year four on what he can do, but also, you know, becoming a true leader because we know he's kind of a soft-spoken guy, but you see more and more where he gets involved. There's a little dust-up at practice the other day with Felipe Franks and Mike Jackson, and, you know, Bryce Young was right in there separating guys, even though he's about the smallest guy on the field. But when there was a session where, going back to spring football in the minicamp, where the receivers are dropping some passes, he called them out on it. I mean, he's taking that leadership role and not just being always positive. If something critical needs to be said, he's not afraid to do that. So basically the same guy, but just kind of fine-tuning his craft. And I think with the third season of having, you know, Brad Idzik in there along with Dave Canales, I just think he feels comfortable in this system, and they're really tailoring things to his skill set.
Of course, Rico Dowdle gone in the backfield. Chuba Hubbard is back, and then I guess hopefully Jonathan Brooks will stay healthy this year. I know he showed up at practice the other day and is practicing a little bit. So just talk about the backfield, because I love having Rico, you know, being up here in the mountains, you know, covered him back in the Reynolds days, and wish him the best of luck with the Steelers. But just talk about the backfield, and hopefully two things, keeping the backfield healthy and also keeping the offensive line healthy. I think health is going to be such a key element for this offense this year.
Yeah, it's bad we don't have our starting right tackles, and both of the starting guards have been out for most of practice. So hopefully we'll get things squared away. We know with Ike Ekwonu, it'll be at some point during the regular season. Don't know when, according to Dave Canales. Expect the same with Taylor Moten. Don't have a timetable, but he'll miss some games in the regular season as well. And then, you know, we've not had Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt much at practice so far. So they brought back Brady Christensen a week or two ago to kind of be that swing tackle who could also play some interior offensive line as a backup. But, again, you draft a guy, Monroe Freeling. That's going to be the most critical one, is the guy that's inserted now as the starter at right tackle with Taylor Moten's injury, who we thought was going to be the backup to Rasheed Wallace at left tackle to begin the season. So they had to, like, fast forward on his developmental process here. But, again, he's got all the, you know, potential in the world, but didn't start a lot of games at Georgia during the course of the time that he was there. So 21 years old, 6'7", very agile, raw, but it'll take him a little bit of time. I think you have to probably give him a little bit of grace period when we get into the games, just that he's going to make those rookie mistakes, but hopefully be a quick learner.
And just talk about the defense a little bit, too, because picked up a couple guys there and through the draft. And what's your thoughts about defense? Because going back a couple years ago, that was a little bit of a rough unit. Last year was a better year, but just kind of talk a little bit about, because you got to be able to stop people, too. It's good to score points, but you want to be able to stop people, too.
Yeah, the second-round pick was Lee Hunter, big defensive tackle, and he's looked really good. Again, big guy, but really agile. So I think he'll be one of those guys like Derek Brown that'll have the ability to not just be a big body, but you know, get some pressure on the quarterback in the pass situations. At practice just this past week, I interviewed Will Lee, fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M, cornerback. And he's 6'1", lanky, got a lot of confidence. The first week in practice, I mentioned both J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson were out, so he got a lot of reps with the starters at the outside corner spot. And there was no drop-off. I'm sure there would be if it was a real game, I'm good. But as far as his practice went, I mean, he looks the part already. So I think that's going to be really essential, having that third corner. And that will allow them to put, at times, J.C. Horn in that slot corner and do some nickel work with him, or put him in the boxes, have a box safety and move him around. So I think having someone like Will Lee will allow J.C. Horn, who's a two-time Pro Bowl player, have an opportunity to kind of be moved like a chess piece around the field a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, of course, defending NFC South champs. So, unfortunately, you win a division, sometimes the schedule gets a little tougher, and you got the Bears, you got the Eagles, the Broncos, the Seahawks. Probably be looking forward to playing some NFC South games when those six games roll around. But it's a tough schedule. I think win those winnable games, you know, win the games you should win, and then maybe sneak up and get an upset. The Bears come to town very first week. You know, Ben Johnson had him on the show a couple weeks ago. The Bears head coach is excited about coming back. He'll have a lot of family there. But that's a tough home opener, but tough schedule. But win the winnable games, take care of the South, and hopefully this team can do enough to win the South again.
Yeah, it's a tough, you know, competitive division. I think New Orleans is on the rise. You know, Tampa Bay's interesting because they got some contract situations like Vita Vea and Baker Mayfield. But the thing about Mayfield is he'll be purely in a contract year. He's an unrestricted free agent since they didn't get a new contract for him. So you know you'll be seeing the best version of Baker because, one, he'll be, as we know with his personality, he'll be angry at that. And, two, he's playing for his next contract, probably his last big contract in the league. So you see a very motivated Baker Mayfield. They got a great receiving core, of course, when everybody's healthy down there. And then Atlanta, too, if they ever figure out the quarterback thing, you know, they're obviously got one of the best running backs in the league in Bijan Robinson.
Right.
And you got Drake London and some great talented. Kyle Pitts stepped up last year finally at tight end. So I think a very competitive thing. And we talk about, you know, the Panthers won the division in a three-way tie where they won the tiebreakers
right.
at 8-9. So that's how tight the division was last year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, you know, and listen, I'm hoping that at least on paper when I look at them, you know, I think Carolina has a little bit better than everybody. That's kind of the way I look at it. As long as you stay healthy, as long as things kind of fall in place. But the schedule, I mean, I was looking over that the other night. I was like, oh, man, that is a pretty tough schedule that you're going to be playing this year. But, hey, you never know what might happen. You know, Panthers snuck up won some games in the past. We didn't think they'd win. Hey, Jim Zuckey with us, not only part of the Carolina Panther Radio Network, one of the hardest working men in all of radio. I know you do some radio down in Charlotte. Are you still doing some Pirate football down in East Carolina? Is that still a part of your game plan, too?
Yes, sir. Another year of play-by-play for ECU. In addition to used to the Monday through Friday WBT radio in Charlotte, Panthers full schedule. And ECU, we just have a little opener Labor Day weekend at Alabama.
Yeah,
at noon on September 1st. So just just a little easing into the schedule there with Alabama on the road. So that'll be fun. And, you know, we have good, we feel good about the roster, but it's completely retooled because, you know, last year went 9-4, beat Pitt in a bowl game.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, you lose a bunch of transfers out to the Power Four conferences. And that was the case here, but by all accounts of the, you know, the type of players they brought in, looks like they've reloaded really well and should be strong in the American Conference. So we will see. We got App State coming to Greenville for the regular season opener, and then a game at Old Dominion, and they were a 10-win team last year. So really, first three games all have their challenges, and then NC Central before they get into the American Conference after that.
Yeah, I always like the Pirates, except when they play my Wolfpack, so I always have a hard time. And there's quite a rivalry there with NC State and NCU over the years. And, yeah, I tell you, listen, I hope they have a great year. I really do. And, you know, you mentioned the transfer stuff. I really try my best. I almost, like, beat that like a dead horse sometimes here on the show because I'm just like, whatever 11 kids show up on offense, 11 on defense, and 5 on the basketball court, I'm going to root for whoever's out there for my teams. Because year in, year out, you don't know what you're going to have. And I know I had a conversation with Mike Houston. I think you and I talked about that a while back. I think just as all that kind of started, you know, things almost like ECU was a little bit behind the eight ball. They've caught up a little bit now on some of that stuff. But, yeah, the whole landscape has changed. And it's like minor league sports now. But, hey, man, you do a tremendous job. And safe travels up to Canton. And hopefully, I know it's preseason. But hey, let's start the year 1-0 here on Thursday night and knock off the Cardinals.
Yeah, if you're going to practice something, might as well practice winning too, right?
So that's right.
That's the tone a little bit. So, yeah, hopefully so.
You got that right. Well, Jim, always good catching up with you. And, man, I hope you don't have to yell four too many times a day and have fun.
Yeah, better not.
Have fun on the golf course. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Ryan McGee is going to join me. You're locked in the Sports Freak Hour here on the
Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local trained comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number, you're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap to pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
From the WTZQ Weather Department, this is Paul Speranza with your late Monday afternoon, early evening, and overnight forecast. As of late afternoon, there is not much going on radar around here, so you may see a hit-miss shower isolated around the area. Then basically you're looking for clouds giving way to decrease and clouds giving way to partly cloudy skies. But overnight, some fog and clouds will redevelop. It will be muggy out there and temperatures in the middle 60s.
And welcome back to the Sports Week, everybody. Mike Morgan here with you tonight. You know, I literally just hung up the phone with Jim Zocchi a few minutes ago. Totally forgot to mention to him about one of the big reasons why the Panthers are playing Thursday in the Hall of Fame game is because one of the greatest linebackers to ever play for the Panthers in the NFL, Luke Kuechly, is getting inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. So luckily, my next guest, Ryan McGee from ESPN, you can see him on the Marty McGee Show as well. He knows a thing or two about the Panthers and the Charlotte area. And I forgot to ask Zocchi, but Ryan, I ask you here on the Mountain Credit Union Hotline. Pretty cool to see Kuechly go in because not only a great football player, but one of the nicest guys I've ever met, too.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the best. And he was so that I was really fortunate because, you know, I don't cover the NFL that closely, but that group, you know, that Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, Steve Smith, I mean, that whole crew, you know, that's when I first met Roman, who I work with at SEC Network now. But I went through a run there for ESPN the magazine when the Panthers were really good, and I was in that locker room a lot. And I tell people all the time, he is exactly, Luke is, he's exactly who you want him to be.
Right.
Like, a lot of times, guys have reputations, and then you meet him, and you're like, well, I'm not sure, maybe it was a little overhyped, but he is everything you've heard about him as a person. He's probably actually better than that. And so it was an honor to be around him, and yeah. It's been really fun. One of my favorite videos is when it showed up at his house.
That was cool.
I love those things. But yeah, but congratulations to him. And Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's funny because I feel like the Panthers are kind of under the NFL radar all the time.
They are.
And now because of Luke and the Hall of Fame game, and my wife and daughter were watching Project Runway the other day, and that was they were one of the featured teams. I'm like, I feel like the Panthers are kind of back in the national consciousness a little bit.
I hope so. You know, and again, I think because you're hovering around 500 every year and just barely getting in the playoffs, that NFC South has not been the greatest conference in the world. But, hey, on paper, I like what the Panthers look like, and we'll see how they do. But, unfortunately, some bad news, and literally something else happened since I got off the phone with Jim. Chris Braswell, the talented wide receiver out of Tennessee, tore his LCL originally. They thought it would be 6 to 8 weeks. Now he's opted to go ahead and have season-ending surgery. So that news just broke, too, after talking to Jim. And so, Ryan, that's a bummer. I know he's a Tennessee Volunteer, and I was excited about seeing what he could do for the Panthers.
Yeah, me too, and it's tough, but it sounds like, you know, he's going to have to sit out a year, but it sounds like, you know, a recovery is certainly possible, so is expected. So, but it'd be interesting now to kind of see, I mean, people start talking about who they're going to get in free agency and all that, but the reality is, like, I've always believed the Panthers haven't done a great job of maximizing, you know, Xavier Leggett. South Carolina guy. Yep. And, you know, he had maybe three touchdowns last year, about that same the year before. And so, you know, maybe this is the chance for X to finally, you know, maybe step up in the lineup. And maybe this is a chance for him to be what a lot of people believe he can be. So it's a tough break, but the good news is, the bad news is he loses a year. The good news is, from what everyone was telling me, you know, he should be back next year and be ready to go.
Well, there you go. You mark this off your list. That's the most NFL you have to talk about this year. So congratulations.
Well, who knows? It's funny because we're in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, the phone starts ringing if they're good.
Yeah.
If they're funny, college coaches ask me all the time, man, you don't ever come see us, or you don't ever come write stories about us, or, you know, you don't do Marty McGee from here. I'm like, guys, there's a really easy solution to this. Mm-hmm. If you win games, then they're going to send me. Yeah. Either you need to be good or you need to be terrible, because then I got to go cover the record. So, yeah, it's but in the Panthers' case, you know, maybe I get to go back to the stadium with credential because I think they could be pretty good.
Well, and we've both covered the good and the bad, and we have a whole lot more fun covering the good than we do the bad. There's no doubt about that. Hey, and listen, we'll get your thoughts on just college football, because, again, it's kind of the quiet before the storm, I guess. You know, we've had all the media days. Now we're into practice. I'm sure your schedule will start to fill up with doing some preseason stuff. But I tell you, what happened this past week when Kirk Cignetti, the head coach of the national champion Indiana Hoosiers, and I still have to take a step back every time I say that about college football, he basically maybe a shot fired at the SEC. His quote was, "We don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything is earned, not given. When we fall short, we say we fall short. But when we don't win, we don't cry a river. We don't whine and complain. That's why we're the best." He didn't really say that towards the SEC, I don't think, but everybody thought it was directed towards them. I love this guy. I really do. I just think he's a breath of fresh air for college football. And he's not completely wrong if he is talking about the SEC with the hype machine. But what was your thoughts when you first heard that, and how much fun has it been to have conversations with people about this over the past few days?
I mean, that's what Cignetti does. You know, he loves to sit up to the microphone. It's so funny. That, I mean, I don't disagree with what he said, but it's so funny that he talks about the hype machine and all that stuff, and he's the Google me guy.
Exactly.
he's pretty good at hype. And I'll say this too. When the SEC was winning all the time, and you're talking to someone who co-hosts a show on the SEC network, I can just tell you just what I received at the airport from Big Ten fans and what I received when I would go to a Big Ten campus. You know, Marty and I did the show when Tennessee made the college football playoff 2 years ago. Marty and I did Marty and McGee from Ohio State, like on the field before the game. And the Ohio State fans were just, you know, they were joking with us. They were giving us a hard time. But there was a lot of whining and complaining going on when the SEC was on its championship run and the Big Ten was not. And so I appreciate what Cignetti said. I don't disagree with all of it. But yeah, to say that your conference hasn't been hyping things, I watch the Big Ten Network.
Yeah,
you know, they hype a lot.
Oh,
so it's just what he does, and I think it's great. And you know, now we we kind of have this SEC Big Ten thing going on that was on paper, and now it's for real.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be an interesting season.
Yeah. And I want to get in, want to bring it back closer to us, SEC and ACC here in a little bit, but kind of some of the big national stories. I know Indiana, of course, was just an unbelievable story last year. Just came out of nowhere. Unbelievable what they did, winning the national championship. But what are some of the other big stories outside of the South you're keeping an eye on as we get ready to kick football off here in the next month?
Well, it's interesting, the Indiana effect. You know, I was at SEC Media Days a couple weeks ago down in Tampa, and, you know, that was the conversation that we were having with, you know, Will Stein is a new coach at Kentucky, and, you know, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, and, you know, who, by the way, Vanderbilt had an amazing year last year. And what's interesting is talking to coaches. There's five new coaches in the SEC, and, of course, Lane Kiffin moving to LSU makes it six. And it's interesting talking to coaches because you would think that the Indiana deal would put more pressure on them, but they see it as an opportunity. Like, they see it as proof that you can turn it around quickly. Like, especially the Kentucky, who has this rivalry in basketball with Indiana, they're looking at Indiana going, well, we can do that. You know, if Indiana can do it, we can do it. And so it's interesting because I really believed when I brought up Indiana, coaches would be like, yeah, thanks, Cignetti, for making life harder on me. But the reality is their reaction is kind of the opposite. Their reaction is kind of like, oh, you know, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And so to me, that's a – and I think it's interesting, too, talking to coaches, talking to even athletic directors, certainly talking to players. They are really purposely trying to steer the conversation away from all this business stuff. And that's the biggest complaint I'm getting right now from fans, is that every single time – we're talking about college football, we're talking about money, we're talking about NIL, we're talking about transfer portal, or we're talking about it all sounds like a business meeting. And they won't talk about football.
Yeah.
And I think that coaches, like Kirby Smart in particular, every time anybody would ask him a question about the future of the sport and NIL or whatever else, he would steer it right back toward football. And so I think this year the game of football is going to try to take itself back as opposed to being a business meeting. At least certainly I hope so.
I hope so too. And I think just the simple reason it is what it is. We are into this new era of football now. And I would love for it to get back to that. And I think I mentioned that to Zoki a little while ago. I think every single show I've had where I've talked something about college at some point in time, I've whined about the portal and the NIL. And I'm kind of done with it, to be honest with you, because now I'm just like, hey, it is what it is. It's where we are. And you talk about the SEC, Georgia, the preseason pick to win the SEC, followed by Texas, Ole Miss up there at number three, again, this preseason, then Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama. Just seems so weird to see Alabama down picked sixth in the SEC. But I tell you what, SEC, hype, whatever you want to say, Big Ten is good, but man alive, this has potential to be a super season, I think, for the Southeastern Conference.
Well, I think that the middle of the conference fascinates me. Like, there's teams you mentioned that are picked to potentially win it, but I think there are so many wrecking ball teams. Like, I don't think Tennessee is good enough to win the SEC, but I think, you know, everybody's picking them to win eight games maybe, but I think they have a chance with that schedule to, like, I don't think they could win the conference, but they could ruin it for someone else. South Carolina, to me, with Kendall Briles at offensive coordinator, and, you know, now we might have a chance to finally see, you know, Lenore Sellers be cut loose like we saw in the second half of that season 2 years ago, particularly that Clemson game. I don't think they're good enough to win the conference, but I think they're good enough to, like, ruin it for a lot of other people. So that middle of the league fascinates me. And with the SEC, too, I can't ever remember a year when everyone thinks they have a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because even Tennessee, who you know, wishes they had won in court and they had their quarterback back from last year, you know, Tennessee got a five-star out of North Carolina at quarterback. And, yes, he's a freshman. And Alabama's got a couple of really young guys fighting to be the starting quarterback. But whoever they go with is really talented. And then you start going down the list of, you know, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss, and obviously Arch Manning at Texas, and Marcel Reed at Texas A&M. I mean, everybody really believes they have a quarterback that could lead them to a bunch of wins. So, I mean, something's got to give. Everybody can't win all the games. But I think top to bottom, I can't ever remember a year when literally all 16 teams were like, we like our guy behind center.
Yeah.
And that's just a couple of years ago, it was clear the opposite. We were like, every starting quarterback is a sophomore. And now We got a lot of veteran guys, and I think a lot of teams are excited about that.
And the one kid, I hope he has a good year, is Arch Manning. I think you talk about the hype that we had, and you know, it wasn't the, your greatest of seasons last year, but how do you think he will be in his sophomore season?
I think it'll be great, and I think that it's interesting because everybody was so quick to knock him.
Yeah.
But you go back and look at the season they had, that was a great year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you made the playoff, and mm-hmm. you had a chance to win a conference championship.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a great year. And so the part about Arch that people don't understand or don't appreciate is he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care what people think. You know, he cares very much about football. And
yeah.
and talking with Marty Smith and I talked with him at SEC Media Days, and it was really my first chance to talk to Arch, you know, one-on-one, because they've kind of kept him away from the media. And I think Marty talked to him once. And so when you talk to him, he's so Manning, dude. I mean, you know, the first time I interacted with Peyton Manning was 1997, and it was his last home game against Vanderbilt. And I remember Steve Cypress was the reporter, and I was a producer. And we were done with Peyton Manning, and we walked off, and Steve looked at me, and he goes, "That's the Peyton right there." We just called him the Peyton, like all capital letters. Because and Arch kind of – I wish Arch was a better soundbite. But Art certainly carries himself like a Manning.
Yeah.
He reminds me so much, really more of Eli than Peyton.
Right.
But he just doesn't, he's lived with this his whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's, people act like he's just now dealing with this hype. The second he picked up a football when mm-hmm. he was 2 years old, you know, he was a Manning.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that you deal with that. And so it's, yeah, he's going to be fine. I'm going to worry about it.
Yeah, I think we forget about the pressure of just having that last name that goes with them. All right, Ryan McGee from ESPN on with me tonight. And let's talk about the ACC Miami. Good gracious, 165 first-place votes, SMU with 6. So I think you could say Miami is an overwhelming favorite. Louisville, Clemson, your top 4, then Georgia Tech, Virginia, NC State down at number 7. We talked about Miami for a long time. Of course, they were a playoff team last year. The best news that happened, I talked with Brett Freelander a couple weeks ago, is at least the ACC hopefully is going to get the two best teams in the conference championship. We can hope that works out that way. That was a little bit of a debacle last year, the way it played out. But that being said, Miami, could this be another year for them, you think? Because they definitely look like they're going to be the best team. And how do you think the ACC as a whole looks right now?
Yeah, so Duke wins the ACC, and everybody is embarrassed about it, so they changed the tiebreaker rule. And on top of that, Duke loses their quarterback to Miami.
So,
you know, my boy
can't make this stuff up.
He can't get around Miami. He used to be the coach of Miami. So I think Miami has a chance to. Well, Miami is very quietly building something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was at that national championship game, and you know, we all talk about Indiana. Miami had that game won, right? I mean, people forget. Mm-hmm. Miami had that thing nailed down until the Heisman Trophy winner pulled off one of the greatest runs that we'll ever see in a national championship game. They're really good, and I think they're kind of loading up to be what Clemson was, right?
Okay.
And to be what Florida State was. Like, I think they could be going on a run now. And part of that is the fact that Clemson isn't where they used to be, and Florida State certainly isn't where they used to be. And so right now, and Miami's kind of got it figured out with going and getting players and NIL and transfer portal. They kind of, you know, for better or for worse, and it might make people mad the way they go about it. We were at media day for the national championship game back in January, and the recruiting coordinator for Miami and the quarterbacks coach from Miami, neither one of them were at media day. And we were like, what is happening?
Wow.
And we were in Miami. And then we realized now those guys were down on campus, and they were meeting with the quarterback that was secretly and quietly leaving Duke and coming down to Miami.
So there we go.
They're really good at it. I mean, they're really good at that. And that's what it takes. And I have had my doubts about Mario Cristobal in the past. You know, I think that sometimes he received maybe more credit as a head coach than I thought he deserved at some of the places where he was before. But the reality is, he almost won a national championship game, and now they're playing with the chip on their shoulder, and that's kind of how Miami likes it.
The preseason poll, the Tar Heels are picked 15th in the ACC, to say that the Belichick experience has not gone that well would be an understatement. And then Michael Lombardi on administrative leave, the team is under investigation. Things in Chapel Hill are not going as I think people in Chapel Hill hope things would be going at this point.
Yeah, but if you didn't think it was going to go this way, you weren't paying attention. Because you know, I wrote the column when Belichick was hired. I wrote the column. I go, this is great.
Yeah.
But you know, we're all from here,
yep.
And we know what North Carolina football is. And the reality is that, you know, like NC State,
yeah.
You know, they haven't won a conference championship, you know, in forever, 1980,
mm-hmm.
And Lawrence Taylor was still playing there.
Yeah.
And now Lawrence Taylor's, you know, drawing Social Security. And so this is what they do. Well, the person I keep thinking about, and I've not talked to him, I've not texted him, I've not bothered him, but the person I keep thinking about during this whole thing is Mac Brown is sitting up in the mountains of North Carolina, mm-hmm. just laughing. Like, you know.
He's got to be. Know.
Yeah, but listen, I was talking to Tony Kornheiser about this on the show last week, that, you know, NFL people love to bang on college coaches who move up to the NFL and don't perform, a Steve Spurrier or whatever, a Nick Saban. But I have always argued that it also works the other way,
yeah.
Where NFL coaches come to college and they think they're just going to coach ball and be great. And the reality is the track record is pretty bad, and particularly now. And
yeah.
Michael Lombardi, who came on Marty McGee, and we're going to change the business model and we're going to change the way they do it. We're the 33rd NFL team and all that crap. And but you still have to respect what college football is,
mm-hmm.
and you still have to operate within the rules and within the boundaries of what, not necessarily collegiate sports, but even just the college campus. And those guys haven't done that.
Right.
And as a result, you know, but you can get away with that if you go, you know, 8-4.
Yeah.
But not if you go 4-8.
Right. Right. Amen to that. And the Wolfpack are picked 7th in the ACC. And I tell you, a lot of people, that's kind of their sneaky, sexy pick to possibly end up in Charlotte in the ACC title game because of the schedule. They don't play Miami. They don't play SMU. They don't play Clemson. You know, we're not playing some of the big dogs this year. And C.J. Bailey, and I know you mentioned on your show a while back, is one of these guys that could possibly be a Heisman candidate if things play out like they could play out. I think State's got potential to be there. As a Wolfpack fan, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop and something horrible to happen and them lose a game they shouldn't lose. That will happen. But I tell you what, this sets up this year with the talent they have and the schedule they have. Them getting to Charlotte is not a stretch, is it?
No, not at all. And you mentioned Bailey. The question I get a lot of times is, all right, we know who the top 5 or top 10 Heisman candidates are, but who potentially could be in the next group? Like, who could crash that main group? And my answer is Bailey. You know, because of that schedule. And because he's a veteran, because I think that he's a name that people might be talking about in the middle of the season that they're not talking about now because they just don't know who he is. So yeah, I mean, it's State, right? They're going to win a game they shouldn't win and they're going to lose a game they shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
And it'll all even out at some point. But yeah, I think they're absolutely have a chance to crash the party in Charlotte, you know, much like Duke did a year ago.
All right, man, so what's on your radar? What have you got coming up over the next few weeks as we get closer to the college football season kicking off?
Yeah, it's time to get on with it, man. I'm working on for ESPN.com, I got to do the preseason bottom 10.
Oh, boy. That's a great article. If you've never ran his bottom 10, it's the best stuff in the world.
I've been doing it for like 15 years.
I know, now. It's great.
I'm working on the top 10 villains in college football history.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm working on that. But, yeah, but we're ready to get going, man. Marty McGee, and we'll hit the road this fall on SEC Network. And, I say goodbye to my family and tell them I'll see them all in the end of January. Championship games are like January 25th this year.
Wow.
So I already told the family, I'll see y'all at Valentine's.
I tell you what, man, you're one of the best in the business, a good friend. I appreciate you. And have fun as the football season continues and get started.
Yes, sir. It'll be here before we know it.
Yes, it will. All right. I always appreciate Ryan McGee being on with me. I tell you, he does such a great job. Check out all of his work, ESPN.com. You can see him on the Marty McGee Show, on the SEC Network, and on ESPN. And just a darn fine fella. Of course, he was AstroTurf's intern back when I knew him. He was just a lowly intern who has gone on to be one of the top ESPN personalities. Great guy. And I appreciate him being on. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap this show up and get you on to whatever you're doing on this Monday night. So you're listening to the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ.
Eggs Up Grill. Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local train comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number, you're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small-town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap to pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Freak Hour, everybody. Mike Morgan here with you. And you know, I recorded the show Friday night before I left, and then wouldn't you know it, Friday evening into Saturday, some breaking news happened in both college athletics and in baseball. And the big college story was a U.S. District Judge, Charlotte Sweeney, in Denver, Colorado, issued a ruling late on Friday, basically ordering a mandate that NCAA permit a fifth season of competition for all Division I athletes who began playing in 2022-2023 and exhausted their four standard seasons this past spring, argued that the NCAA's rollout of its updated eligibility framework unfairly cut them out of the 2022 cohort, which basically had to do with things being sandwiched between COVID-19 and the extra year for future classes. So basically making every single person have one extra year of eligibility. So, I'm here at the beach, hanging out with Rhett Blanchard, my brother-in-law, who does some high school football with me. We did this last summer down here, too. So, Rhett, first of all, this makes you think, poor NCAA, what the heck is going on? And they have actually also tried to file an appeal to stop this. And also, you can only play for the team you played for last year. So take NC State, Van Allen Lubin, Darren Williams, Trey Holloman. Those three kids would be eligible. They can only play for the Wolfpack. But wow, just yet another odd thing going on in NCAA athletics.
And you know, if you're a high school senior who has just graduated and you think you're walking into a store, into an NC State, and you think you're going to compete for a starting job, and in comes a 24-year-old who's playing his fifth year, probably his sixth year of college football because he's been in the program. You have no shot, really. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the a couple years ago, Deion Sanders basically said he's not recruiting any high school kids.
Right.
So I always worry about that. You know, football is a developmental sport, especially if you are going to a, you know, a lower tier ACC school or a big SEC school, and you think, okay, hey, I'm gonna jump in a program. It takes a lot. I mean, there's a huge difference between a college freshman and a college sophomore because it's a whole year of working out. It's a whole year of weights. It's a whole year of getting smart and practicing and spring practice and all the stuff that comes with it. So, you know, I'm thinking about all those high school kids who graduated a semester early, right? They roll into practice. They've already competed through spring practice and spring drills. They find themselves on the depth chart somewhere, and now all of a sudden this ruling comes out, and there's people who may have entered the job market who are now coming back to school.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, if they've signed a pro contract, they're not eligible to come back. But if they're just sitting there hanging out, I mean, for every sport. So it's football, basketball, baseball, you name it. And again, NCAA did file an appeal. We'll see what happens. But you know, for football, practice has already started. I mean, you know, depth charts are already out. You know, I know the Wolfpack are already looking at these handful of guys that could possibly come back. So you're reevaluating everything for football. For basketball, like I said, just take NC State, for example, because that's who I follow closely. They only have two scholarships. They got three kids that could be eligible. And all three are eligible because none of them have signed a pro contract. It's just a mess, and I don't know how this is going to play out, but we talk about it all the time, and I joke with Ryan McGee early in the show. You know, I get to the point where I try not to talk about what a debacle NCAA has become, but boy, it just keeps getting a bigger and bigger debacle.
It sure does, you know, like you talked about. I mean, gosh, I'd hate to be a, you know, all these kids that went in the portal that all of a sudden jump over to an NC State or a Wake Forest or wherever, and now there's a, you know, only 5% of the kids that play college football end up, or college basketball end up playing in the NBA or the NFL. So when you say, hey, it's the kids who hadn't signed a pro contract, that's the majority of them, right? So It's crazy. I don't know. Yeah. You know, where does it end?
I know. And now we just have to wait and see, because originally we thought it would just be portal wide open. You could sign anywhere. And it was a kid from Clemson who committed to Arizona before the judge came out and said, oh, wait, hang on. I forgot to say something. You can only play for the team you played for this past season. You can't just transfer anyway. So we'll see how it all plays out. And who knows if this will even happen with the new appeal coming. But it's just a mess. But I woke up very happy Saturday morning here at the beach, not because the Dodgers lost to the Red Sox, but because I saw where Tarik Skubal has been traded to the Dodgers. So the Dodgers get the two-time defending American League Cy Young winner in Skubal. They give up three minor leaguers. That's it. One of their top outfield prospects, and two of their top pitching prospects. But Andrew Friedman doing a great job again. A lot of people hating on the Dodgers, as they always are going to do. A lot of teams had a chance to sign him or had a chance to trade for him. They didn't do it. But the Dodgers, the rich keep getting richer. You're a Braves fan. I know you're not happy.
I'm not happy about that. I mean, you know, I'm a baseball fan first. So, you know, the problem in Major League Baseball is not the Dodgers. The problem in Major League Baseball is, you know, the Rockies, is the Royals, is the A's,
Tampa Bay,
all these teams that are not going to even try to be competitive, and they're not going to put the money out there to forget re-signing their own players. I mean, try to field a competitive team and win. That's my problem with Major League Baseball. Now, I think a lot of pundits out there are thinking that this is going to lead to labor unrest next year. I hate that, because baseball's in a great place right now. And I hate seeing, you know, the growth of the game has just exploded with, you know, the World Baseball Classic is a huge, they could play that every year. I'd love to watch that. But that's the problem to me.
Yeah, and revenues are up across the board in Major League Baseball. Viewership up across the board in Major League Baseball. That's why you got to kind of wonder, all right, I know the Dodgers are ruining baseball, but the Yankees did the same thing a few years ago. Every few years you have a team that jumps up like this. And listen, you got billionaire owners not willing to spend millions of dollars to make their teams better. And all the owners make money. Even though these teams struggle, these guys are still making money. It gets lost in it just because everybody thinks the Dodgers are out there just buying players.
Well, there's no business in the world set up to where your competitors pay you every year to be to be relevant, like baseball and football. You know, with the revenue sharing that Major League Baseball has, you don't even have to field a competitive. You can be the worst businessman in the world, and you're buoyed by the luxury tax and all the revenue sharing that all these other owners that are spending money to be competitive are paying you. So there's not another business in the world that's like that.
Yeah. All right. So we'll keep our eye on what happened in college athletics, and keep an eye on what's going to happen. Today is the trade deadline. So Monday is the final trade deadline. We'll see what other moves are made. All right. So Rhett Blanchard joined me from here at the beach. We're having a good time down here playing some golf. Matter of fact, by the time this airs on Monday, we would have played a round of golf at Brick Landing, and it's you and I against the boys, and they're about to get a whooping.
They sure are. Love that for them. I think we're undefeated.
We are. I'll update that next Monday night. All right, thanks for listening this week. I'll be back in the studio live next week. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. To listen to the podcast of tonight's show, go to WTZQ.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to the Sports Freak Hour. The Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. Monday nights at 6 p.m. right here on WTZQ. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air, unmatched quality, service, and price. And Eggs Up Grill, serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week.